Fitzy and Whipper.
Hey, podcasters.
I love the podcast.
So do I.
I love it.
You don't love it more than I do.
I love it more than you.
No?
Yesterday, I took the podcast out for dinner. Let's just say we had oysters and champagne, and I booked a hotel room for the night. That's how much I love the podcast.
Bit of an aphrodisiac. I took it out for caviar and truffle,
mate. Did you?
Yep.
How fancy are you?
Yep.
That damn lucky podcast.
I had a pig with me. We had to go find the truffle ourselves.
Yeah, okay.
And the caviar, I went out into the ocean myself and found it.
Sounds like
I got the eggs. I made the fish give birth to the eggs, and I fed it to the whole podcast.
I don't think you did at all.
I didn't. We've got a huge show coming up for today. Patrick Dempsey. And also Renee Zellweger.
You mean McDreamy?
Mm.
Oh, God. You know what? Last night I caught up with Patrick McDreamy, took him out for oysters and champagne, then booked a hotel room afterwards.
Patrick Dempsey.
Not fussed. And we made love all night long.
No, you didn't. We did have a chat to them, though, about the new movie Bridget Jones's Baby. You'll hear that soon. Does anyone follow police on Twitter or on social media?
I do, on Instagram.
Yeah. Do you really?
Yeah. On Instagram.
Victoria Police put up great photos of like their police cars and helicopters, which I really like.
Oh. You do love police cars. We went to an expo and there was a police car. Oh. And remember, you made me get a photo of you in the front seat.
Yeah. Did you?
Yeah, it was great.
God, what are you, 5 years old?
It was quite cute.
It's like, remember the television series Crime Stoppers?
Fire engine, Tommy.
Crime Stoppers used to be a really big TV show. Mm. This was back in the late 90s, and you used to sit down with the family.
Yeah.
And I always wanted to be the person where you would recognise someone and go, yep. Oh, my God, I saw that guy walking up the local Top Shops the other day.
Quick, call Crime Stoppers.
Call Crime Stoppers. Yeah. But I never did. We had a playground down the road from us at Christy Downs, the place that we got broken into 3 times.
Mm.
Got burnt down there.
Yeah, right.
And I heard a group of kids talking one day about they'd burnt it. And about 2 weeks later, they put a sign up on the burnt playground saying if anyone's got any information, there's
reward.
A $10,000 reward.
So
and
what you
Dad
do?
Wouldn't let me go. He's going, you're not going, nah. Because they'll find out that it's you and you'll get into trouble.
They'll
and
rob
Dad,
the house.
And Dad did the whole, they don't give you the reward anyway.
Oh.
I don't know what the rules are for you to actually get the reward.
They normally say if it leads to the arrest of someone.
Or do you get the portion based on the quality of
it? It feels like you're lucky to get the full 10K. They'll flick you a fiver and say, thanks, mate, appreciate your effort.
Mm. Victoria Police, anyway, on their Twitter account yesterday, had a bit of a stuff up because this was the tweet, nothing else. If you see Abdul, contact Crime Stoppers. So then it just went into meltdown. People were writing back. Sally wrote, Abdul is my local barista, a man who runs the fruit store, and my downstairs neighbour.
Guilty. Oh.
She said, anywho, I'll let them all know. Someone sent back a photo of Paula Abdul.
Yep, got it. Any reward?
Someone wrote back, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, the basketballer.
Not bad.
He's over in the States.
So what have they done? What were they trying to do?
They were looking for this guy. They wrote back, no, this Abdul. His name's Abdul Elabed. And apparently he ran, raided something.
Oh, dear.
Took a couple of packets of chip from the petrol station.
How sloppy. It seems like the online department just said, what do you want me to write? I don't know, mate. We're looking for Abdul.
Guys.
Right. Has anyone seen Abdul?
Guys, I've got so many leads on this Abdul case.
Yeah, we're bound to find him.
Talking of, if anyone's got a celebrity tattoo, if you've copied a celebrity's tattoo,
yep.
Give us a call, 13 24 10. Liam Bailey did it. He's 28 years of age. He's a father of two, and he regrets the two-pack tattoo that he got, say, Thug Life across his guts.
Mm. Oh, and look where it's positioned. It goes in sort of a semicircle, but above his belly button.
I think it started a little more firm than it was, but due to weight gain, it's just sort of slouched around the corners.
See, Tupac is a gangster. He's been on grew up on the streets. This bloke, Liam Bailey, unfortunately, Liam's just a white guy who's a tradie. I think he's a roofer.
Mm-hmm.
And he's now got Thug Life. The eye has been replaced with a bullet.
Yep.
Oh,
I don't think he's had a gangster lifestyle.
No.
See, and also on the back, he's got the same as Tupac as well, with a big scrolled across the back is F the World.
Oh, okay. Oh, sure.
Very angry,
man. What's his family think, mate? Has the feedback been fairly positive? Or?
Yeah, the kids don't really. They're not big fans of it at all.
No.
And it was a drunken night out. It always happens. And that's how I got mine when I was about 19, 20 years of age. King's
all
Cross.
Of them?
Well, it was. I was living with Bolts and Jamesy, and one night I said, I've always wanted to get one, and there was this symbol that I saw on Parramatta Road, and we always used to speak about it
Chinese
when we went
to
footy training. No, it was a martial art, right? And I got the symbol, and I said, right, this is it. This is the night we're going to do it. We'd had a few drinks, went into King's Cross, a couple of big bikies in there, and they looked at it, went, yeah, man, that's sweet. Let's do this. Just tramp stamp. I'm on your back. Let's go.
On your lower back.
And then as he was about to start, I should have clicked, but he said to me, he goes, you know what? There's not much ink with the symbol that you want. Why don't I change it around?
Uh-oh.
And I'll do the ink the other way. And it made it look completely different. And it was that moment when I got up out of the bed and I went up into the mirror, and then I've got two huge bikies looking at me, and I looked at them and went, guys, that is amazing. Thank you so much. While in the back of my mind, I'm going, right, that is there for the rest of my life.
Did Bolts and Jamesy get tats as well? Or you just went, nah, that's me?
No. There was no
way. It was a solo
way.
Mission.
Well, they were laughing on the way out. And see, it's horrible. And then so I had to get it removed, I did a radio promotion 10 years ago, Sarah, and we were looking for the worst tattoo ever.
Yep. And you won, did you?
There was some beauties. No, the deal was you can get your tattoo removed, your worst tattoo ever, with Fitzy.
That's
so
not a bad
we went
idea.
In. We went in together to get it removed because you know it's like $200 a pop every time you go in to get your tattoo
it
removed.
Is expensive. Yep. What about that woman when we did the pink red room?
That's
and
right.
She got Pink's head all over her tummy, and it was a little bit of a loose stomach.
She ballooned
as
well.
She didn't have washboard abs, and remember she yanked her t-shirt up in front of the whole crowd and said, "Hey, Pink."
Getting celebrity matching tattoos is a bit strange. I mean, you after JMO, who works for Sydney Confidential here at Nova, he has stars. You went and got stars on your elbows, which I thought was cute after JMO.
He's not a celebrity though.
Well, JMO's a celebrity.
No,
big name in Sydney.
Let's go to Emily in Fairfield. What do you regret, Em?
Hey boys, how are you?
Not too bad, Em.
Okay, so I was fresh 18-year-old, had a bit of a night out, and I decided to get a One Direction tattoo.
Just 1D, Em?
Yeah, so like 1D, and you know where Rihanna has her like boob tattoo?
Yeah, right in the middle.
Right
on your chest in the middle.
Yeah.
Yeah, but see, Em, you know what? People will forget about 1D in about 10 years' time.
No, they will not, Fitzy.
Yes, they will.
Come on.
Harry Styles will live forever.
Em, would you get it removed?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Tommy, can we organise this for Em?
Yeah.
I mean, to think that you've got 1D stuck between your boobs and you've got to wake up and see that every morning.
That's
I
tough.
Wouldn't be happy, mate. Yeah.
What about
boys,
just...
because it's so bad, can I get a key ring?
Oh,
that's a lot easier for me to arrange.
No more removal. We're just doing key rings. Number 910, Em, is all yours.
Well done, Em. Thank you, boys. Thank you.
No worries.
Oh, great story.
You can super glue it to your tattoo and no one sees it.
That's
you just see
bad.
The key ring.
I'll have to, yeah.
Well, you know what? If there was any commitment to the show, we should big shout out to the guys at Bondi Inc. this morning.
Great,
I reckon they should come into the studio and give Tommy a tattoo of a key ring, a 6 o'clock cup key ring.
That is a
just
good
on
idea.
His lower back.
What?
On your forehead, Tommy.
666. Oh, the devil on his lower back.
Again.
Wouldn't be the first time.
Yeah. The key on his lower back, and it's the key.
Here we go. Take it away, Fitz. You want a drum roll?
Whatever you want to do, don't open that gate, guys, I tell you. I've been in a taxi with him, and I nearly passed out.
Here we go.
The gates of hell. What do you know?
Unusual relationships with your ex. Like, I'm one of these people that once you split up with someone, that's it.
Doesn't have to be that way.
You move on.
You should, though.
No, it's
cut it and go.
I've still got a great relationship with Lily, my ex.
Yeah, but how often do you talk?
No, you don't.
We don't talk a lot, but we'll message each other for important moments in our lives. She's got two kids, and I'll make sure that I message and say congratulations, and she does the same back.
The last time you spoke to her was when I did a prank call. I put her number in, and you thought you were ringing someone else.
We don't speak.
You haven't spoken for years.
We don't speak like we're best mates because obviously we're not close friends like that,
we don't
but
talk
we still
anymore.
Have a good relationship.
Yeah, but Whips, that's the difference. You can end something on good terms, but you're not friends.
And she wants her wallet back, by the way, mate. The one she gave me that I gave to you.
Do you know what? That's 5 years old.
Is it still going?
Yeah, it's. I need a new one.
I'll give her a call, mate.
Give her a call.
So we're going to make a quick call now to a 6 o'clock club member. Lily, is that you?
Well, one of the favourites for The Bachelor, Nikki, right? This was in the magazine recently. She started the series at 9 to 1.
She's got to be popular.
she's come out and she's been sort of dropping hints that says that she's won it. Like, yeah. And it's look, there. I think Channel 10 are trying to keep her under wraps. I don't know if she has won it or not, but she's opened up about her ex-fiance. His name's Tim. Tim has revealed that, you know, he still talks to Nikki, and he actually put $1,000 on her to win it at 9-1 before she went into The Bachelor.
Ooh. Has he got his heart broken?
Well, he, fiance, mate, they are going to get married.
Oh.
But isn't it weird that you've broken up with this girl? She's broken your heart. Yep. I don't know how it happened. But then he's gone, she's a really great girl. I think she's going to win The Bachelor, so I'll put $1,000 on
it. Is that a play to get her back? So he's publicly said, look, she's so great, I'll back her.
Or he cheated on her and he's trying to make amends.
What?
By backing her and saying she's really great and she's worth it and she should be the winner.
He's trying to look like the good guy.
Yeah, he's trying to look like a good bloke.
Well, $9,000 isn't much, though. Do you reckon that'd get her back over the line?
Yep.
I'd be pretty happy if someone handed me $9,000 right now.
Is that a bit weird, though, that you're actually betting
it is,
on
yeah.
your ex-partner to win it? You want her to win it.
Yeah, because the real life scenario is going, I've broken up with her, but she's such a great bird. You watch, she'll pick up tonight. She's going out and she will pick up tonight. I can't put money on her.
But she'll do it.
Social TAB.
Because if you had an ex that was on The Bachelor, it'd be pretty hard to watch.
It'd be horrible to watch.
You would be hoping that they make an absolute fool of themselves.
Yeah, you wouldn't watch.
You don't want to see any romantic dates in helicopters to the Blue Mountains and then you're just making out on the Three Sisters.
Oh. And all you want is a text message from your mates going, you made the right decision there, mate. Well done.
Instead, she's making out.
Good segue. Is this a segue into a bloke who's just been hopeless in love? Oh, no, Matty DeGroote.
It's not hopeless in love. You would say giving, hopeful might be the right term for Matty DeGroote.
You've found love, haven't you, Matty?
Absolutely, 100%.
Yes. Are you in love, are you?
Very much so.
Well, why haven't we spoken about this on the show?
Because you get so much entertainment talking about Sarah and Gary that
What's
I just
name?
Sit over in the back. Bronte.
How long has this been going on for?
Like, you don't
have you said I love
months,
you yet?
A couple of months. Yes, I've said that, and you ask me every day.
But you know, that's because you jumped in kind of early, Maddie, if I have to say so. Oh. You told me you'd said to her that you loved her pretty early on in the piece.
Like how quick?
Oh, like when I introduced... No. I've known her for a while before we started dating.
Just answer
the question, mate.
Within a month.
Okay.
Oh. That is good.
Can I ask a question?
Nobody likes a keynote.
It's interesting. It's interesting to see how quickly the two new romances on the show have been settling down. I mean, Sarah, it's quite routine that you and Gary spend a lot of nights together. Like, how many nights during the week would you spend together? I know you had a lazy Sunday.
We did, thank you. Wasn't lazy.
Sarah, that is gross. What, you did a bit of mow the lawns out the back?
A lot of gardening. Thank you, Fitzy. Stop it. We spend all weekend together and then we try a couple of nights during the week, but it's hard. I work unusual hours.
Mm, what about you, MDG? How many nights a week?
Well, Bronte lives quite close to where I do and works the same hours over at News, so 2 to 3. And then the weekend.
You know what? We're happy for you, mate. That's great. That's great news to hear that you're in love.
Thank you,
mate. I'm just going to jump on Sportsbet now and see who's going to break up first.
It's just unfortunate that your role on the show was the guy who was unlucky in love. So pack up your gear and get out of here.
See you, mate.
Page 15 of the Daily Telegraph today. There's a lady by the name of Sanaa Derbys. She has just gone to court because she's used a series of aliases and affair sites to befriend lonely men, and she's stolen $2.7 million from these blokes.
Poor man. Sister.
What?
What?
Sarah, these men are looking to save their money for retirement. Take a risk and a chance at love, and they've been ripped off.
Whatever.
If you're
handing out cash to a stranger.
Because they're trying to impress because they're lonely.
Sarah, this is how she does it, right? She goes on to Lava Life. Who's still
Lava
going
Lava
on to
Lava Life?
Just off, she's been on MySpace.
She goes to...
What?
Is Lava Life still going?
Still using Hotmail?
Yeah.
Okay. She goes on there, and they provide for casual affairs. Right, then what she does, she says to them, meet me at a hotel, and then she says, can you just transfer the $600 into an account to book the room? So they do that. Then she cancels the date, giving excuses, including that her mother has been taken to hospital, and also said that her mother has died. Her mum lives two doors up from her.
Jeez, that's heavy.
The whole time. Then she would ask for money to help pay for the funeral costs or mortgage repayments, saying her rich grandfather in Egypt would pay them back, and these guys have been forking out. Her first victim, known as IJ, has given her $1.7 million.
What?
He's only got 20 bucks to his name.
So she, they hardly know each other. Right?
Mm.
So you've got no real connection with this person.
Yeah.
Then she cancels a hotel room on you and you've lost your 600. And you then, right, out of the goodness of your heart for someone you don't know, pay for the funeral.
Well, hang on.
Idiot.
So what, you would give $600 to a stranger rather than say, what's the hotel? I'll just pay them direct. And then you'd give them more money.
Yeah.
No, I'm saying I wouldn't. They're the idiots.
Yeah,
that's
the alarm,
right.
Yeah. The alarm bells go
so good
straight
on
off.
Her.
No, not good on her.
Target them.
Still trickery, Sarah.
You can't,
you're
Sarah.
Ripping someone off.
You are lying.
God, police, I can't believe you're agreeing with
police
this.
Police found at her home three diaries containing 349 men's names, along with a female aliases that she had. Serena Lopez. That's a good name.
Serena Lopez, yeah.
Meet up with Serena Lopez. Marissa. She had one name. It was just one name, like Madonna. But it was just Marissa.
Almost symbol.
Police also found 15 phones.
Jeez, that's good.
With one containing text messages with a further 20 other men who are not among the six men she has pleaded guilty to defrauding.
So would you have to get your labelling machine out and write Gary, Steve, Craig,
yes.
Barry on all the phones?
Yes.
Yeah. Because imagine picking it up and you're scrambling. There's one ringing amongst a bag of 15. You don't know who it is.
I know.
Why is she on Lava Life and not SugarDaddy.com?
Oh,
chasing up.
Is that your favourite site?
I mean, if I'm handing out tips here, if you're looking to rip off a man, I would have thought you'd go
well,
to...
Well, that's what Jeff Edelston was on, wasn't he?
Yeah, yeah, that's right. Why isn't she after Jeffrey?
Well, why does she need so many phones? Can't you just text all those people from one number?
It's an amazing
point,
like,
mate.
You
good
really
point.
Do.
A lot of effort.
Even though it's illegal, you have to sit back and you've got to commend her on
amazing
job.
Don't join Sarah's team here.
I think so, too. I'm just impressed by these entrepreneurs out there these days. I mean, the guy...
It's not an entrepreneur. She's a scam artist.
The guy in the nude at the Olympics, the Irish guy who was scalping all those tickets he'd stolen from his
$3 million.
I mean, hats off to you, buddy. Who's thinking about that over dinner, how I'm going to make money tomorrow?
I'm going to call Gary and say you're about to lose your bank balance, Gary.
Just got a phone call from Lava Life, guys. They've gone bankrupt.
Why have you got 15 phones?
We love this lady. She's about to, well, Channel 10, The Wrong Girl, really looking forward to this. And she's also the face of Burley's The Sensation Spring Summer Campaign. It's Jessica Murray. Welcome.
Oh, Jess, welcome.
Everybody, thank you for having me.
No, the Wrong Girl, Zoe Foster Blake. This book was massive.
Yeah, it's huge. It's still huge. I mean, it's still in circulation and pretty big amongst a lot of girls my age and a lot of single sort of 30-something-year-olds, late 20-year-olds.
If you haven't heard of the book, can you give us a quick outline?
It's based around a character called Lily Woodward, who produces morning television.
Yep.
She wants to be a documentary maker, and she sort of wants to have more of a substantial imprint on the morning breakfast world than what she's possibly allowed to work with.
Yeah.
And it's kind of it's a story about her friendships, her sort of relationship
so you're
dramas.
Lily.
I'm Lily.
Ooh.
Who is
she'd
the
be
wrong
clumsy.
Girl.
You're the wrong girl.
Look, she's really good at some things.
Yep.
She's very capable at her job. She's good at a lot of things, but she's kind of, you know, just like all of us, I guess.
Yep.
She stumbles and falls and has some sort of unlucky situations.
Is that why you said, is she clumsy?
Yeah, is she a bit of a clumsy sort of character?
Do you mean what by clumsy, physically?
Do you think Jess is clumsy? Like, did she drop something or trip over on the way
in? No, well, it's like Nina, I suppose, in Offspring. Is it one of those sort of characters? Is she...
Oh, I think, you know, everyone in life, I believe, is clumsy.
Yes.
To some extent, life is messy, you know, even if we've got it all together and you look like a calm duck on the top of the water, your feet are still paddling madly underneath.
Mm.
And I think, you know, she gets herself into situations that are difficult and life happens, you know. She thinks life's going one way and things happen and, you know, you have to sort of roll with the punches. Sometimes that means falling over in a pretty clumsy way.
Yeah, in a very clumsy way.
Well, this is huge. This book was huge with young girls. And you were just saying before that you're not on social media, because there'll be a lot of people speaking about this when it comes on air. But you're not on social media at all,
no,
Jess?
No, I have the Facebook.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. You've got the Facebook? How often
the only
do you...
one.
I have the Facebook, but I don't use it very often, and people are always abusing my inbox saying, why don't you check your messages?
I mean, have you considered things like Instagram and Snapchat?
I've considered the Instagram
didn't
and the
make
Snapchat.
It and the Snapchat?
I just don't know if I can manage.
Yeah, sure.
And I don't have a Twitter or anything like that.
Sure.
But I have only just learnt that how to use an emoji
on an
iPhone in the last 4 months.
I'm not
so. I'm really behind technologically.
Emojis are good. I'm not good at spelling on them, and I'm not great with words. So if I can have a picture that describes what I'm trying to say, very helpful.
Yeah. And really autocorrect helpful. Can be dangerous as well.
Well,
so.
A viral thing that's been happening on social media at the moment, which is quite funny, is hashtag lazy mum. And basically, girls have just been putting up why they're a lazy mum. And there's some hilarious ones, like a woman said she threw the good Tupperware away because she didn't want to smell the week old food inside. Yeah. I threw my kids' socks away because there were too many for me to match, so I bought brand new ones. Mm-hmm. Instead of going upstairs to check whether my son cleaned his room, I told him to text me a photo. Hashtag lazy mum. Now, you've got Scout, do you? Mm. And I know you're a busy girl, so but when you have a lazy day with Scout, I mean, do you do similar things?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely I'm guilty of not getting dressed.
Yes.
Getting
pajamas.
Pajamas. If it's a rainy day outside and we're doing craft inside, it's all totally day. Pajama day.
How good is it?
And not washing when I have her, sometimes like not washing my hair for a week. So much to the point that then when I actually have to interact with someone else, a grown up, and I put in effort, she remarks on how great I look just because I look normal. Yeah. Like I've actually got, you know, human. My hair out. Like I look like a human being. Yeah. I don't know. Or I'll put a face mask on and just walk around with it on all day.
Yeah.
But lazy mum stuff, I look, you know, shoving toys under the bed before someone comes over.
That's
pretty.
Stuff it in the drawers.
Lazy, stuff it all in the drawers.
Mm-hmm. Well, all right.
Understandable.
We can put you down, hashtag lazy mum, Jessica Murray.
Okay.
What about wearing an old bra? That sounds really creepy coming from me, but
doesn't
you are
it?
The face of Burley as well now.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
And so
I slept in my Burley bras, but that's how comfortable they are. The sensational.
Right.
I wore it to work, went home one night, 15-hour day or something, fell asleep in it. And I woke up in the morning not feeling like I was, you know, in a straitjacket.
Yeah.
So that was kind of when I decided I was really behind the brand.
Is it weird when you, I mean, did you have to audition for the role in a Burley bra? Do you turn up and you go, hey, Jess, look, we're thinking about you being an ambassador for our great brand. Can you put it on and show us?
No, I didn't audition. I'm sure there's some sort of audition process that happens behind my back.
Sure.
Well, a good friend of ours, Sophie Faulkner, do you know Sophie?
Yeah, she's beautiful. I don't know her, but she's
But she was the
beautiful.
Face of Wonder Bra.
Yeah.
And she was on buses all across Sydney as the face of Wonder Bra. Yeah. Just with, I think she had to audition with a bra on as well.
Because if you don't get the job, if you've auditioned, you'd be quite offended, wouldn't you? What's wrong with these?
What's wrong with these? Who doesn't want to look at that?
So, I mean, how big is this campaign too? Because it would be strange seeing herself on the side of a bus, wouldn't
it?
Yeah,
look, I kind of separate myself from it. I suppose, you know, the thing about the campaign and what I like about Burley, it's not just about images and trying to look sexy in a bra. It's about sort of... The sensation range is about feeling sensational every day. Your bra's the first thing for most girls that you put on in the morning. And it's the way you start your day is kind of the way you then tend to continue the day. And if first thing in the morning you can put on something that feels comfortable, it supports you, you feel it looks beautiful, so it's kind of you feel nice from the inside out. You then walk ahead into the rest of the day feeling good.
Do Burley do a men's range?
Okay, mate.
Have they thought about that?
You could
that?
Talk to them about it, Fitzy. I'm sure they'd workshop the idea with you.
Well,
this is kind of
summer
women
up.
For women, but yeah, you know, happy to lend
You've
you.
You've slept in yours a couple
okay,
of nights
mate.
Before.
I'll accept the audition then.
Well, Jess, thank you very much for coming in. The Wrong Girl is coming up very soon on Channel 10. Appreciate you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jess. Lights, camera, hilarity. Sarah's Darers. Yeah. More backlash from the V Festival.
Yeah, the other day I was telling you guys yesterday, Justin Bieber was accused of miming his songs rather than singing them. Now Rihanna, she's rocked up late, which she does a lot, and I'm not sure why.
Very
anyway,
Madonna.
She's rocked up very late to
there
her performance.
It could have been traffic, Sarah. You don't know.
No, come on. Fans have jumped on Twitter and saying how upset they are. Please hurry up. It was raining. It's not really a very nice environment. Anyway, when she finally did arrive... remember the rumours about her and Lewis Hamilton, the car racer?
Yeah.
There he was, side of stage. So I would say that they are dating. Pretty much confirmed.
Well, I think that would be a great couple. He's been with some Geez, he's black book's filling up, isn't it?
Yeah, it's strong.
He was
strong.
With Nicole Scherzinger from the Pussycats.
Yeah, I remember talking about the house that they built and built together. It took them like 8 years to finish, and now it's for sale.
That's right.
Well, he was also Kendall Jenner, I think he was linked to for a bit as well.
I think everyone gets linked to her. Speaking of which, actually, Fitz, Kim Kardashian's come out, and she was talking about how the girls in the family come about their boyfriends. Mm. And it turns out they actually get approached by these celebrities, and then they all talk about whether or not they'd want to date them. Have a listen.
There's this new player. He really is into your sister. And I go, which one? And he goes, Kendall. And then Kendall and I Googled him. We decided she's not into him, whatever. So then he says, okay, is the other sister Kylie down to talk?
Oh, so you just move through the sisters.
Yeah.
Is that Lava Life?
But don't think it's Lava Life.
Don't you think it's hugely offensive if you were to start dating someone who's gone and asked your older sister if they can date another sister and then gone, oh, okay, well, can I go for you?
Where does Courtney come in that list? I mean, so you go from Kendall to Kylie. You probably have a crack. You go Kim.
Could you put your preferences in like that? I mean, obviously you would need to submit it with Chris. Is that the mum's name?
Mum would run
that. So if mum looked at your application, you can put your preferences in and see which one you get.
Well, what about Caitlin?
No comment.
Exotic.
Okay. Thanks, Josiah. Eddie Murphy has said he's threatened to relieve himself on stage at the Oscars if the big bosses don't give him an Academy Award for achievement soon.
Ones or twos.
Yeah, I don't know. But how wrong is that? I don't think Eddie Murphy's ever done a role that's worthy of an Oscar. Let's be real. But he said he'll just go back to stand-up.
Coming to America.
There's a new movie coming out. I don't know what the name of it. And it's a real serious role for Eddie.
Church?
And it's getting rave reviews.
Well, this is what he's saying. He's saying, don't wait till I'm 85 to give me an Oscar. I deserve one for this role, which is calling it pretty early. And he was nominated in 2007 for Dreamgirls, which was the one with Beyonce where they're all singing and Jamie Foxx was in it.
Can't remember it.
Yeah,
it
but wouldn't you? I mean, if you're organising the Oscars, aren't you quietly going to go, oh, guys, we're not giving him anything. Yeah. We're going to see if he sticks to his word.
Ah, who wants to see that?
You know what?
He should win an Oscar for Delirious, his stand-up show.
That's right. That was brilliant.
She's riding on the coattails of a gig from 30 years ago. Well, go, Eddie Murphy.
Sarah, it was pretty good.
Him and his nine children.
Oh, very good gear.
Finally, Coldplay performed in LA overnight, and this was just amazing. All these celebrities obviously rock up to a Coldplay gig. You know, you've got Reese Witherspoon and all these sorts of people sitting in the crowd. But they've invited one particular person up on stage, and I can't believe how famous he is, just ballooning. It's James Corden, and they actually got him to sing Nothing Compares to You. Have a listen. And then Chris Martin jumps in with him and they do the whole song together.
Amazing.
Unbelievable.
Just he's phenomenal. On fire, Corden. Well, he's just sold Carpool Karaoke to Apple.
Yes.
And now apparently Drop the Mic is about to be sold as well. The bloke's just making
on
a mozza.
Well, remember when Coldplay were here and Elton John was in the stands and everyone, the rumour had gone around that Elton was actually going to get up on stage and then Chris Martin got on the microphone in front of everybody and said, I'd just like to say I'm frustrated and I'm angry because someone's taken the good suite at the hotel I'm staying at and it's bloody you, Elton John.
You would give up your room for Elton John. Come on.
Wow. I want to talk about a secret stash. If you got one, just put aside a little bit of cash just for your own personal things. You don't tell your partner about it. Girls do this for shopping.
Cash is king, mate.
Tell me about it. And any other catchphrases you want to roll with about cash, mate? We can do that today.
Cash, splash that cash.
No,
yeah.
Make
or
it
the
rain.
Old.
Yeah.
Dad used to put it in the old tin and bury it in the backyard, which I always thought was a bit dangerous. I used to say to Dad as well, are you always worried about someone seeing you digging it up and putting it back? Because once I'd see that, game over.
Yeah, tell me about it.
And I did. Stole it all.
Dug it up.
Sorry, Dad.
I dug up the entire back garden. I found it. Reports reveal Australians keep financial secrets as well from their other half. One in five Australians have a secret amount of money hidden from their partners. One quarter of women. Well, that contradicts the above statistic. Sarah, have you got a secret stash?
I don't, but I can imagine why you would. I don't have to have a secret stash because no one's watching, but when you want to go shopping and you feel bad, like someone's going to, like you're spending too much money, stuff like that, I would absolutely hoard money for that experience.
That lab that you've got is quite bloody.
At the back.
Yeah.
That shed.
That's a money maker, not a money saver. Sorry. Yeah, thank you.
See, Lisa will say to me, don't check the statement, please.
Yeah.
What?
Don't she's check walking the out of Tiffany's.
Don't check the bank statement. And then we'll go out somewhere and she'll have something new, like a clutch or a purse or something. And I'll go, oh, that's interesting. And it's always the same response. It was on sale.
Yeah, but
it was a really good deal.
I've had that for ages.
Yeah, I've had that for ages.
This is the first time you've noticed. Yeah.
Yeah, but see, you lie to me, you mole.
Sorry, guys,
I cracked it. We're spending too much. My finances are out the window.
You buy so much crap.
Yeah,
how
you
can
do.
You lay
no,
into
I do
Lisa?
Not.
Oh, let's go into that room at the front of your house where all those cameras are.
Oh, no. I know.
When she says cameras,
how many pros have you got?
I've got 10. She's talking about cameras I've bought, not hidden cameras.
It's not a Christian Grey room with cameras.
No, it's not. Cable ties,
GoPros, and pictures.
I mean, you would have done this over the years, wouldn't you? Just keep a secret bit of amount money on the side.
Do you know what? I'm lucky with my wife. BJ doesn't really check the credit card statements.
Well, neither does Lisa, so she doesn't understand it or care. So I'm the one that sits in front of the computer looking at it, going, "Oh my god!"
Well, you shouldn't.
Well, you're in the clear. Well, you're in the clear there.
Where's our future going? Into handbags.
Good investment.
She got a push present the other day.
It's not a good investment, Sarah, at all. It's like a car. As soon as you buy it and you take that pam bag out of the store, you lose $8,000 straight away.
What was the first thing I did when the show finished yesterday? You heard me in the office.
Eat a bacon and egg roll.
Oh. No.
Thank God you said bacon and egg roll.
I was going to say that's aggressive.
Because you usually say that to him as soon as the show's on. Okay.
No, I rang the bank and I said, what do you mean we've maxed out the credit card?
Oh, do you know what? I remember when I was a young kid, Mum and Dad had a huge argument at home, and Dad said, well, that's it. I'm going to do it. And he went to Mum's purse, took out the credit card, and he cut it up into about eight different pieces.
She deserved it.
Because Mum had maxed out the credit card.
It was a sickening feeling. I went and put all the money into an Excel spreadsheet and then hit the sum button to make sure the bank was right, because I couldn't believe where it had all gone. And this is what I'm doing with our marriage certificate. It's over.
Sorry, guys,
I snapped.
God, I think I can hear Lisa cheering from Queen's Park now. James in Penhurst, your dad has a secret stash?
Yeah, mate. Back in the day when he was dating my mum, he basically told her, you know, he was an electrician and had no money at all. Turns out he'd been working in the eastern suburbs doing a heap of jobs and had about 100 grand saved up to that point. Yeah, he basically didn't want Mum to be a gold digger and go after him for his money. He basically, for the first couple of years in their relationship,
fair enough,
told her he had nothing.
Yeah, you've got to be sure, sir. You got to be sure.
Someone's not a gold digger. You don't marry someone thinking they're going to try and pinch my money.
Yeah, but you need to be 100% sure that when you do take out a joint bank account, that they're the right one.
So true.
That's so rough.
Has Gary bought you anything yet?
He got me a wallet when he went.
Did he?
Yeah, he went to France for work and he got me a beautiful wallet.
Oh, yeah. A Rip Curl wallet? Or
yeah, with the Velcro straps
and
great. Everything.
That's awesome, man.
Jimmy and Glebe, you've got a secret sash, Jim?
Yeah, absolutely, fellas. How are you?
Yeah, good. Where do you keep it, mate?
Mate, it's in a Maltesers plastic tub on a shelf in the garage.
Well done. Okay, don't tell anyone where you live.
Is it up high, Jim, so no one can get to it?
Yeah, absolutely, mate. Up high. Got a little bag of nuts and bolts on the top of it. Keep a couple of sneaky 50s under.
That's good. Jimmy, what do you use it for?
Mate, things that the missus doesn't need to know about, or things I tell her only cost 100.
Yeah, just a rainy day, Jim. How is that gambling habit of yours?
Are we all right? Mate, pick every winner, don't you worry.
Well done, Jimmy. Thanks for your call, mate.
Well, it's out September 15, and that's when it's out on the Thursday, and we got to sit down with Patrick Dempsey and Renee Zellweger yesterday. Well, this is very exciting. Renee Zellweger, Patrick Dempsey, welcome to the Fitzy and Whipper Show.
Thank you very much. Fantastic names, by the way. Fantastic names.
Very cool. Thank you.
They're like cartoon characters.
Yeah, just as successful as you two. Over the past 14 years, though, I mean, Renee, did you ever think where Bridget Jones would be? I mean, did it line up with the script and when you first read it? Is that what you thought?
Absolutely. Yes. I mean, I didn't obsess about it for 14 years, but I was really happy when I got the script. I was really happy to be back in her world and to see how she's changed and grown and moved on. And I loved the ways that she hadn't, actually.
Well, a lot of people have grown up with Bridget Jones, and there's a brilliant scene where Bridget doesn't recognise Ed Sheeran. Are you both normally quite good with other celebs, or have you had someone that you didn't recognise and asked for a chat or a selfie or...
I don't really know. I don't keep track. Of celebrities? I don't know who anybody is. I mean,
I didn't know who he was at first. I have to say, they're like, Ed Sheeran. I'm like, okay, great. And I'm like, wait. And
you don't go to Coachella, obviously.
No, of course I don't. Not anymore. But then it was like, I talked to my daughter, and she's like, oh my God, Dad. It was like, so it's a generational thing. And then also, too, once you start to listen to the music, you're like, oh, now I know who you are.
Yeah.
So it was nice to see him.
Now it makes sense. Patrick, one scene I love from the movie was when you were juggling, and I thought, I wonder how long it's taken you to learn to juggle. And then I found out that you actually came third in the National Juggling Championship. Is that right, growing up?
Second.
Apologies.
I was in Cleveland, Ohio in 1983. I went to the International Jugglers Competition, junior division.
Wow.
I played second.
I had no idea.
Thank you. I was beat by a 9-year-old, and I was 13.
Humiliating.
You know, and he became one of the greatest jugglers in the world.
Oh, wow.
Anthony Gatto.
That is brilliant.
You don't have to feel bad about
he was
about
doing
that.
Numbers. He was like 11 rings.
God.
Oh,
but that's
kidding.
How I got started.
I had no idea.
Yeah, I was in the circus, sort of.
Oh, now you're in the different
circus. Yeah, complete circus.
Now you're in the showbiz circus. Renee, you've actually got a little bit of history here in Sydney, in the Shire. Your dad was a lifesaver on Cronulla Beach. He must have some great stories to share with you.
He's got some great stories that he just smiles when I ask him about. Dad, tell me about nothing.
Yeah.
I know. He was the man. He was really great. I saw some pictures of him recently rowing the boats, you know. It's quite a sport.
Oh, and a great part of the world in the Shire. What about this? Can you tell me one thing that you've both learnt about each other during the filming? Something that surprised you.
Oh, this is good.
This is how amazingly professional she is.
Aww.
And on time, which is even better.
Aww,
you know, but never waited. Nice. It was always on time. Great to everyone. And that was what was amazing to me and very giving with her time and very supportive.
Well, that's pretty good. You're going to have to definitely return the favour now, Renee. What have you got for Patrick?
Yes, absolutely do. I knew he was smart because you can't be a good actor or a funny actor if you're not smart, but I didn't know how smart.
Oh, well, that's very nice of you.
Yeah. Oh, no. Seriously clever.
Oh, thank you.
Seriously, seriously intelligent. Oh, and he's a really, really good dad. He's a great dad.
Mm. The kids loved coming by. They were like, they came by the set, which I try not to do. And
they
had a great time, and they keep talking about it.
Oh, good.
We'd love you to settle a debate that Fitz and I were having on the way in here. I mean, who would Bridget Jones pick if she had to choose between the two of us?
This is a tough one.
Myself, really good looking, great head of hair, or this bald guy next to me. What do you think?
Why does she have to pick? She could fit in right here.
Oh,
right.
Yeah.
She doesn't really have to pick,
That's
does
true.
She?
He's got a point.
The rose.
He does. How about you? Which one are you going to pick?
I'm happily married. I wouldn't pick either one.
Oh, come on. That's what I really wanted.
At the film screening we attended on Sunday night, it was the first time that we've seen Signs brought into a cinema. Did you see that?
Oh. Right,
pretty
yes.
Good, right?
It was shocking. It was fun.
The bucket list sign?
I know.
Bucket list, meet Patrick. Take picture with Patrick.
I know, it was wonderful. Yeah. It was nice.
Should do it more often. Guys, congratulations on the film. Amazing to have the chance to sit down with you, and we really appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys. September 15, the movie is out. Bridget Jones's Baby. Thank you very much to those guys for having a chat. Well, it's only a couple of months away, and it's the big 4-0 for Fitzy.
Wow.
Turning 40.
Who would have thought?
And I'm looking forward to it. Look, I'm not slowing down, sir.
People say
you're feeling old. No, I'm not.
Well, hang on a minute. You've whinged a couple of times on the show about your crow's feet, haven't you?
Yeah, rim eyes.
Bit of Bowie for your birthday?
Yeah. No, I'm just disappointed that I didn't put moisturiser on from a younger age.
Is there anything you thought you would have done by the time you were 40 that you haven't?
That's a really good question.
Something respectable?
Anything you really wanted to do?
Do you think turning 40 might sort of tick off and we can farewell you crashing kids' parties like Coachella and Splendor in the Grass? Is that, do we farewell?
Nah, I'll do that until I'm 60.
Yep, schoolies week. Yeah.
Definitely. I'm not planning any whiskey tours down to Tasmania yet, mate.
Oh, you're not invited.
Like you are.
Maybe you'll get an invite for your 40th.
All right, I'll
have a degustation one day.
Okay.
When I'm about 70.
I can talk you through it.
Okay. But the one thing, a lot of people are asking me, what do you want for your 40th? And I'm like, I don't know. There's not...
Do we have to get you something?
Well, yeah. We spoke about this the other day, because for the party, do you want a donation?
My sister's got a charity, KidSafe, that she's the CEO for, yep. So I want you guys to donate to that.
That's lovely, but you want a bit of something.
But the biggest one is mum's like, I've got to get you something. I want it to be special. And I said, look, Mum, I don't think there's anything. I sat down with her over the weekend, and she said, please, just give me something. And I said, there's nothing there, Mum. I said, well, what did you get for your 40th? She goes, oh, don't bring it up.
Okay.
Now, I don't think I should tell this story. I think Mum should tell the story. So should we give her a call?
Yeah, let's get Claire Fizzle Claire on the Fizzle. Show.
Claire Fizzle, thank you for the G-O-double Fizzle.
Thank you for the cookies. Hope she hasn't had any cookies this morning.
Oh, God.
Oh, I hope so.
I'll pick it up, Mum.
Hello.
Hi, Mum. How are you going?
Oh, how are you? How are you, Ryan?
Yeah, good. Mum, you're on the radio.
Yeah, the team's in. You're live, Claire.
Get out of town.
No, get into town.
Now, Mum, I was just telling the guys about what you received for your 40th birthday from Dad.
Oh, gosh, yeah. It certainly wasn't what I would have liked. Do you know what I mean?
What was it?
Well, we've just bought this new house. We've had views of the Port Nolunga Jetty out on the balcony. So Mick buys me a pair of binoculars so he can see the girls all on the jetty and the beach.
Mum, Dad bought her some binoculars and Mum has never used them in her life.
Them.
Like, Mum's over 60 now, never used the binoculars once. And we used to catch Dad out on the balcony just looking down the beach see if anyone was down there topless.
Three thumbs up.
Is he around, Mum?
Yeah, he's here. Yeah. Yep. You want to have a chat here?
Chuck the old mongrel on.
That's so disappointing. Poor Claire.
Hang on a minute.
Yeah, got him. Oh, yeah. He's been drinking all morning.
What's going on?
You're a dog, mate. You're a dog. Mum's 40th birthday present, you got her a pair of binoculars so you could look at the girls down at Port Nolunga Beach.
Oh, God. Who told you that?
She did.
Hey, Mick, here's a question for you. Did Claire give any indication whatsoever in the lead up to her 40th that she wanted the binoculars?
Well, I thought, who wouldn't want a good pair of binoculars? You know what I mean?
I thought,
we just bought the house and we had good views and all that type of thing. And I thought, that doesn't sound too good, does it, to be honest with you?
Yeah, well, she's never used them, Dad. You're the only one that ever uses them from the family.
That's very true. But at least you got something. She got other things too as well.
It's the old Homer present that you've seen from Simpson when Marge received a bowling ball that had Homer engraved on it. And if anyone's received one of these before, we'd love to hear from you, 13 24 10. Have you received a present that clearly wasn't for you?
And did you decide on the blonde or the brunette, Mick? Which one did you fancy down on the jetty there, mate?
I still use those binoculars every now and then.
We find Dad up in the sand dunes by himself, doing something to himself.
Not again, Mick. Not again, Mick. Put him down.
All right, 13 24 10. If you received a present that clearly wasn't for you, you can go back to sleep, Dad. Thanks for joining us.
We're just going for a walk.
Good effort, mate. Vanessa, what did you get that obviously wasn't for you?
My darling husband thought it'd be a great idea to purchase me a rugby union top that was actually in his size.
Awesome.
How quick did he take it back from you, Vanessa?
I never wore it, let's say, and it's my 40th birthday in a couple of weeks, and I'm dreading my present.
Oh, no. What, are you going to get a new lawnmower or something, Vanessa?
Maybe an iron or something. Who knows?
Jeez, my God. Yeah, and the explanation. Oh, come on, honey. We love this team together. Yeah. Come on.
I thought that was your size.
And then you've got to do the whole, well, you know what? I've gone to a lot of effort. Yep. If you're not going to wear it, this is crap.
Hang on
Give
a minute.
It here.
It fits me. I can't believe this. This is a perfect fit.
Sandy, what did your parents buy you, Sam?
My parents bought me a chainsaw for Christmas.
No way. Had you given any indication you wanted a chainsaw, Sandy?
No, my husband had, yep.
That is just so lazy, isn't it?
That is ridiculous.
It was all good intentions, but yeah, it wasn't exactly for me.
Have you ever fired it up, Sandy? No.
No.
It's not fair,
Sandy. And it was my birthday in June, and we actually flooded just before that, and Dad asked me if I wanted a petrol pump.
Tommy, can we give Sandy something? She's had a bad run here.
What about dinner for two at Cafe Sydney?
No, I was thinking a Black and Decker drill or something.
Oh, no, no, I'd love one of those.
Sandy, do you want a dinner for two at Cafe Sydney?
Oh, that'd be lovely. Thank you.
Thanks right to Sage Institute of Fitness. All yours, Sandy.
Don't
well
take
done.
Your husband or your parents, no, whatever you do.
Not worth it.
Ellen in Picton, what did your dad buy your mum, Ellen?
Dad bought Mum a new fishing boat, and she's not into fishing at all.
But it's for the family. Your mum needs to know it's for the family, Ellen.
She's also gotten barbecues, fishing rods, a car, and he's gone, oh, you don't like it? That's all right, I'll just drive it.
Mm. She got a man shed.
Oh, run over, poor lady.
Does she crack it, Ellen, or is she pretty relaxed about it?
Nah, she's pretty chill. She's pretty good.
That is hilarious.
Not a bad effort.
Well done.
An article's come out yesterday about what reality stars get paid when they go onto the show.
I've always wondered what they get.
Now, it's saying that the Bachelor contestants only get $90 a day.
Jeez, how can you live... Oh, no, I guess you could actually, $90 a day.
Your food, your outfits are supplied, you're not doing anything.
Well, they're saying that there's a fair bit of difference because the Real Housewives of Sydney are actually getting paid up to $70,000 to do a series
You wouldn't get them otherwise.
Well, it doesn't follow their lives 24/7, does it?
And surely they don't need the money.
No. What were you getting on Big Brother?
We got $500 a week.
Right.
Yeah, right.
$500 a week. When I was on in 2004, there were some really good prizes. Like you got a trip to Vanuatu, you got I think the top four got a Mitsubishi Lancer.
Yeah, right.
So I got a car. I got a lemon Mitsubishi Lancer.
You're beauty. You would look cute in that.
Here he comes,
Frizy the little lemon.
It was a lemon. So when I got it at the end of the show, I was like, oh, awesome.
I wonder what Richie's getting paid as the Bachelor.
He would have to be getting a couple of hundred, wouldn't he? Like,
you would think so.
It's not really worth it, is it, if you're earning quite good money to then go on a reality show where you're not getting paid a fraction of that.
Unless you're chasing the profile.
True. Very true.
Do you know so Melissa Tkautz is in the Real Housewives of Sydney?
Yeah, she is.
What was her song again? It wasn't Ring My Bell.
Feel My Kiss?
Huh? Kiss.
No. Feel My...
Read My Lips?
Read My Lips.
Read My Lips. Do it. Read My Lips.
Do it. Shake.
No.
$70,000 a year. That's pretty good. Actually, Heather's on the line from The Bachelor. Hi, Heather. How are you?
Look out.
Good morning, guys. That is the funniest thing I've heard in a long time. You would have looked like a big man in a little jacket in that lemon car.
Yeah, my knees are up around my ears. But how much were you getting paid when you're on The Bachelor, Heather?
Well, we were getting like about $450 to $500 a week. So yeah, it was roughly $90 a day.
Okay.
You didn't have to pay for anything while you're in there, though, did you?
God, no. No, they covered all of our costs. It was awesome. And it's like, at the end of the day, it's not necessarily a paycheck for us because it's more about covering your expenses while you're out looking for love.
Right,
got you. Putting your heart on the line.
Can you put a price on love? You can. $90
exactly.
a day.
You know what else, boys? You may have gotten a car and all that sort of stuff, but if you won this contest, you potentially won your soulmate.
That's priceless.
Come on now.
You can't put a price on that.
Heather,
you can't.
Did you get to keep the frocks, like any of the outfits?
No, they all go back.
Oh, what about a wrap party, Heather? Did they have a big... Did the put the bar on for free at the end of the series?
Well, I don't think there was any point, because the bar was on for free at every cocktail party.
Of course,
kind of intended, because they were like, drink up.
Was it good food, Heather? Did they cater for you?
Yeah, it was awesome.
Yeah,
I don't know, though, because like, I never complained about anything. I had a great time. I was like, oh, my God, I'm getting free food and free alcohol. I've got a really awesome house to sleep in.
Yep. Yeah.
Some of the other girls really hated it. They really struggled. They were like, this is crap. $9 a day, up yours. But I was like, mate, this is awesome.
Yeah.
Like, my rent's being paid while I'm in here. I don't have to do anything. Mm-hmm. If I don't want to, there's a gym downstairs. Mate, we had the run of a massive mansion. There was nothing to complain about.
And if the man flies you to Africa and then proposes, but changes his mind, you get to keep the ring, which is great.
Well, that's what,
So that's a terrific bonus.
All right, if there's any other reality contestants out there, 13, 24, 10, we've got my doppelganger on the line, Jono from Married at First Sight. Good morning, Jono.
Fitzie, how
you going? Yeah, good, brother.
Oh, the twins are united once again. Jono, are you still having people yell out Fitzie in the street when they see you?
No, not really.
You
only
picked
you off a few weeks ago when she was down in Melbourne.
Yeah. Oh. She did. Really? BJ ran into Jono. She went away for a girls' weekend and the girls ran into Jono. So it was a little bit awkward there, Jono, especially when you were buying her drinks. Is that correct?
I'll tell you what, mate, you're batting way out of your creek.
Wow. Here's a story I'm wondering why, questioning why I'm only just heard about now.
Well, Married at First Sight was a huge show. I mean, you're really putting your heart out there with someone that you've never met before, which was Claire. What were you guys getting paid, Jono?
We weren't getting paid too much. I think our weekly pay was about $150.
Oh, you're kidding me.
Did you say weekly, Jono?
Yeah, weekly.
Wow.
$150.
I thought that you guys would have got paid more to be enticed to go on the show, Jono.
Probably should have in the hindsight, shouldn't I?
Yeah, you should have.
Negotiate harder next time, Jono, if you're going to do anything. I'm a celebrity, get me out of here, or give me a chance.
No, look, we thought, we knew exactly what we were getting into before we went on the show, and when we went on the honeymoon, we got a little bit of an allowance each to spend on what we needed to spend or what we wanted to spend on, and we didn't get too much, and but we were able to continue with our normal lives as well too. So
of course
we could go to work. We did everything that we normally could do except for when we were on the honeymoon, which was only a 4-day period, from there it was a 5-day a week. We went to work and we did what we needed to do. So it wasn't like we were out of pocket in any way.
I'd love to know what you get if you're a contestant on the block. Because that's full on.
Well, no. You don't. I don't think they get paid.
Don't they at all?
And the monetary value at the end. It's the most lucrative, I think, now. Yeah. Because if your house for sells a lot more,
if it does,
mate, you're making a mozza.
Matty, what did you get paid when you auditioned for Kiss Bang Love but didn't actually get on the show?
Yeah. I had to pay them to get on.
Did you know what you would have got paid for going on that show?
No, I never got that far. The only thing I do know, Tim Robards, the first Bachelor.
Yeah.
And it's always the best way when negotiating. They asked him to be on it, and he said no. And then they went back with more money. He said no. And then they went back again. He said, the only reason I did it was they paid me a figure that I could not knock back.
Well, that's good.
The reason why I did it. So for any future bachelors...
Knock it back. Well, the other report was that Warnie was getting something like $2 million from a celebrity. Get me out of here. It's huge cash.
Mate.
And he made the show.
What? Channel 10, do yourself a favour. Double that and get Warnie on The Bachelor.
Now, I would watch that. In fact, if you need any more money, I reckon we could pass the hat around this whole country.
And the Bachelorettes are every single Real Housewife. It's been on the Melbourne series and the Sydney series.
I love the idea. Take my hat off. Oh, you got some old music, Jase. You said... Is this old?
The songs that make the whole world.
What's this song? Does Tintin sing this?
Why are you singing?
Barry Manilow, mate.
Never heard this.
Did you two tee this up to be able to...
I mean, we're about to get into the oldest person going to work at your place, and Fitzy's taking out the medal here. This guy, and he refuses to stop. He works at the university in Perth. He's an ecologist. It's just fantastic. He's got 3 doctorates. This year he was made a member of the Order of Australia, and they've said to him, we think it would be safer if you started working from home. Yeah. He's cracked it. He said, what do you think I am?
Yeah.
There's no way. The family's come out and said that would be damaging to his mental state if you said he can't come to work anymore. Mm. He's 102.
Wow.
He's got a 90-minute commute. Yeah. So he just gets in the old car and just bombs his way down the highway and rolls into the university to do a little bit of study.
Well, it's dangerous, though, because, you know, they lose control of their bowels and stuff like that.
He's not turning up to work and just browning his strides.
How do you know?
Well, I don't, but I would suggest. I mean, he's a very...
They need their rest.
Huh?
He's...
What is with this segregation?
One of the guys in this building...
It's not prejudice, they're just old people, mate.
Downstairs is 2CH, one of the guys on air there, Bob Rogers. He's would be 90 now, I think, almost.
Would he?
He's still on air every day he arrives. He does his morning show and then he goes home.
Well, there was Bob Francis. He was an old in Adelaide. He was the guy that used to get fired up if anyone had a go at him. There's some great audio.
Does he still work?
Well, Bob had an unfortunate accident in the lift at the radio station.
With his pants?
Yeah, lost control.
Really?
Yeah, lost control, Sarah.
Oh.
But see, Bob was also known to knock off a bottle of red wine while he was on air. And on one time he knocked the whole bottle onto the whole circuit board where they were doing the radio.
That's right. They couldn't work out what had happened. And then they looked at the security footage. Not only did he knock the bottle of red wine over, he then went and got a bucket of water and poured it over.
To wash the red wine out of it.
That cost the station a $1 million.
See, this is what old people do, man.
No, they don't just foul themselves in a lift. 13, 24, 10. Want to find the oldest person working in Sydney that's not pooing themselves.
Lara from Engadine. Who do you work with, Lara?
I have a lovely IT manager at our business, and he's 94 years of age.
94? And he's IT, so he's up with technology, Lara.
Absolutely.
Is he good? Is he capable? Is he up to speed with it?
Yeah, no. He works 2 days a week in the office with us and 3 days at home.
What does he wear, Lara? Has he got the old cardigan still and stuff?
And scarves.
Does he smell of mothballs?
No.
Lara, is he, I mean, if he's in the IT or tech department, is he on Facebook? Is he on Snapchat, Instagram?
No, he's not so much of a social media person, but no, he looks after all our IT here at Paul Mall, and he does special projects as well.
That's
so
great. You'll never beat him on a crossword. He's the best.
No, never. Is
he allowed to drive still, Lara?
I don't think so. No. He gets a lift in 2 days a week.
That's what you want. I want to get a lift into work, and I want a nappy.
Yeah, and a nap.
And a nap on a mid nap. I want the sandwiches cut up. Yep. Brought to me.
Crusts off.
Yep. Prune juice.
I want to be rude and crude and pretend I've lost my mind.
Prune juice.
You're living this life. I mean, aside from confirmation, you have a diaper on right now. That is you. Yep. And I heard crinkling when you walked past before. It's either
Sarah.
A lolly wrapper,
it was my
wrapper or a nappy.
Okay?
Oh. Yeah,
how dare you?
You're going to be.
Hey, shut up.
Oh, man.
Oh, okay.
I do not envy Lisa at all. Even when you hit 40, I reckon you'll be a joke.
It's a long way away, mate. Fitzy and Whipper.